time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, a few weeks back, we discussed buildings in limbo around Winnipeg. And this week, Gordon said he would consider a few more such buildings, this time outside of Winnipeg. And he gave you homework, dear listeners. He wanted suggestions. So Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja.
So did you receive any suggestions?
Wow, did I ever.
You did?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I got so many suggestions that it just is too much. We can't do them all today. We're going to have to spread them over a few weeks.
I love our listeners.
Absolutely.
And they love this segment, clearly. Okay, so how are we going to do this if you've got so many suggestions? Where are we starting today?
Well, I want to remind listeners, particularly long-time listeners, about a site we talked about last April of 2017, so a year and a half ago, a place called Kennedy House along the Red River, a nice old stone house, the former home of a prominent Arctic explorer. It's now owned by the government, but for the last 4 years, it's been empty, and no one outside the government seems to know if it will open, so that was a good building in limbo. Well, this week we're going to talk about another government-owned building that is likewise in limbo, not far away, another building overlooking the Red River.
And which building is this?
It's a place called the Kenesewan Center at Lockport.
Okay, what does that name mean?
Well, Kenesewan is a Cree word, and I'm told that it means there are many fishes. And it refers to the fact that for millennia, Indigenous people fished at a site along the Red River that, well, later people, the Selkirk settlers, called it the St. Andrews Rapids. It was a good place for fishing, but it wasn't a very good place for navigation. If you had a boat, for example, going over those rapids was very treacherous. So back in the early 20th century, in between 1908 and 1910, the government built a large structure there, the St. Andrews Lock and Dam, that would allow the vessels to go by this traditional rapids. Well, that was the place that Indigenous people would fish for millennia. There's evidence from it.
How do we know that fishing was a major activity here?
Well, in the 1980s, the provincial government, the government's historic resources branch, carried out archaeological excavations, and they found vast numbers of fish bones among the artifacts they recovered. But maybe more significantly, they also found that for at least a period in the 1400s, in other words, about 600 years ago, people there grew corn. And that's significant because, of course, what it suggests is that these people lived by agriculture. You know, we often take the view that Indigenous people were nomadic, they moved a lot. Well, in this case, it seemed that there was at least for a period of time a sedentary population there. They grew corn. They found, for example, the archaeologists found charred corn kernels. They found a hoe, you know, for tending the crops made out of the shoulder blade of a bison. They found storage pits in the ground where they would have stored the crops. And they found pottery shards, little bits of pottery that had styles that had originated way far south, down in the Mississippi River Valley, the Missouri River Valley. So what it says is that this site just at Lockport was probably one of the very first occurrences of agriculture in the northern part of the Red River Valley, far predating European farming.
Now, is there actually a building at this site now?
Yeah, well, they called it the Kenesewan Center. And the reason was that during the 1980s, there was a federal-provincial agreement to promote sort of tourism along the Red River Valley. And the money that the federal government contributed towards this agreement was used for a variety of purposes, one of them being the Kennedy House, for example. But some of the money was also used to develop this Kenesewan site. So they built, for example, a laboratory. Between 1984 and 1988, the provincial government did archaeological excavations. And what they would do is they would uncover artifacts. They would bring them into this laboratory building where they would clean them. They would describe them, sort of catalog them so they'd know what they had recovered. Well, they thought, well, if we have this building already, maybe we could turn it into a museum, sort of an archaeological museum, to acquaint people to just how significant this site was. So there was, in addition to the laboratory where you could see workers working on these archaeological artifacts, there was also a museum that talked about the archaeological significance of this site. There was even a little theater where you had a short video presentation. There was a space where they could even have a little gift shop. And it operated for the period when this archaeological excavation was in place. Unfortunately, when it ended in 1988, things kind of went off the rails. And in fact, by 1990, 2 years later, a local businessman was quoted as saying that the building was infested with mice, that in fact it had been a white elephant right from the beginning.
So where do we get to the abandonment part of the story?
Well, apparently the building was subject to flooding. Of course, it was fairly close to the river, and there are times occasionally when rivers do flood. Of course, the big noteworthy flood would have been the big one of 1997. I'm told that during that flood, this building suffered severe structural damage. But in the aftermath of that flooding, it also started to support the growth of mold, as often happens when you get a building that gets flooded with water. So in the face of all that, the provincial government closed the Kenesiwin Centre in 2010. And then about 3 years later, after a sort of a public consultation process, they released sort of a draft management plan for the facility. And they said, well, the reason that they had closed it were for, well, this is a direct quote, health and safety concerns. And in fact, they said it's the only thing they can do is to demolish it, and that they would provide a new opportunity for using a different way of interpreting the site. Well, that was, say, 5 years ago, and to date, the building is still standing there. It's still locked up tight. No sign that anything's happening. So in a way, I'd say it's quite a bit like the Kennedy building across the river.
Certainly in limbo. Now, I want to know, who was the person that suggested this idea?
Well, it was actually a fellow who is quite active in conservation of buildings along the Red River. And when he heard that I was interested in buildings in Limbo, he says, I got a good example for you. So, yeah, it was one of our listeners that suggested this idea.
Excellent. Gordon, what do we have for next time?
Well, we're going to pick another one of the examples. This time, it involves medicine. And that's all I'm going to say for now.
A broad clue. Gordon, thank you so much.
We'll talk to you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.